Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for today is recorded in St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, beginning reading at the 14th verse. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. These are the words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the topic or the question we have before us today is simply this. What life is worth living? And your task is going to be to listen carefully as I read to you about three people's lives. By the way, I made these up. Listen carefully to these life stories, if you will, and try to figure out which of these is living for himself or herself. And so we're going to start with Rex. Now, Rex has every reason to be very, very happy. From youth on, he was blessed with unusual, or at least above average, height and strength. He became kind of a bully of sorts, taking advantage of that ability that he had, his height, his strength, and so on. When he was off in high school, he was the star athlete, and so he always had a girl hanging on each arm. He got a great job out of college, a lot of people working for him. He still rules with authority. He's happily married. He has a wife. He has children. He lives in a beautiful house in an upscale neighborhood with all of the amenities that you can imagine. And his goal in life is to retire at age 55. That's Rex. Let's now consider the second person. His name is Hans. And his life is pretty nondescript. He went through high school, not a whole lot of extracurricular activities or anything like that. He had some friends, but nothing really special. I think it's kind of sad that his 20-year high school reunion, nobody seemed to remember who he was from the day. He's happily married. Marriage is sort of uneventful as well. He lives in a smaller home in a modest neighborhood. He watches a lot of TV at night, and he doesn't think about retirement very much. So that's Hans. Now let's turn to Jody. It's been really rough for Jody. She was born on the wrong side of the tracks. She was in a sort of a deteriorating neighborhood. In high school, she got pregnant. She had to drop out. She's a dishwasher at a restaurant. She gets home at night late to the hovel that she calls home. Her son's in and out of trouble with the law. He looks like he's going really in the wrong direction. She doesn't even think about the future. She's just trying to make ends meet. So those are the three people. Now the question is, our text says that those who live should no longer live for themselves. So you decide. We've got Rex, we've got Hans, and we've got Jody. Which of them is living for himself or herself? What is your answer? Could it be that they are all just living for themselves? What does it mean to live for yourself? It means to live according to the sinful nature. It means to live aside from and apart from and at a distance from God. Now, you might look at Rex and say, well, he's kind of proud, boastful, and arrogant. I don't like that guy. And Hans, well, he seems a little lazy and maybe apathetic. Obviously, Jody's got some dysfunction. But that's not at all what I'm talking about. Where was the mention of God in any of their lives? Maybe they're all just sort of chasing after the wind. Maybe they're all just trying to find a little pleasure or eke out some sort of living in this world, but all unmotivated by God. Could that be? Now listen carefully. I'm only going to say this one time. Hell is the reward for those who live for themselves. What is the life worth living? It's not a life lived for yourself. So then, what is the life worth living? Just clear everything from your mind right now and simply focus on Jesus Christ. There was a life worth living. Our text begins with these words, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died." Think of Jesus Christ. His love was made manifest when he left his throne on high and humbled himself to be born of the Virgin. You think about him for 33 and a half years, successfully navigating through all the trials and temptations of this life, the minefield of sin, and was without sin, and has been willing to credit that perfect life to us as if it were our own, and then to take our sins upon himself and die on Calvary's cross, even as our text just says that. He died for all the sins, all the sins that we have ever committed, all of the sinners who have ever committed sins, all of the sinners throughout all time and space, he has died for them, and in his death all died. And then he rose again. He rose again to new life and has promised that new life to us. You want a definition of what a life worth living is all about? Look at that life. That was a life worth living for us, for our sake, for our salvation, our redemption. But now, what about us? What is our life worth living? How can we define that? Well, I think you could probably start by saying that we are forgiven sinners because of the work of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You could say that through faith in him, we have peace with God. That's incredible right there. But what else does it mean? You know, it's interesting. Our text not only talks about new life from God, but it talks about new life in God, in Christ. Listen to the words again. For Christ's love compels us that we should no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for us and was raised again. The life worth living is one in which the individual, out of gratitude and joy for salvation, constantly and chronically searches God's word. They're finding God's will, determined to apply God's word and will in decision making, in behavior, in life. It's a brand new life. It's a different worldview. It's a different perspective. It's a different view of how things really are, this life in Christ. The life worth living is not so much a collaboration, I'll do my part, God, and you do your part, as it is an invitation for God's will to be your will. Or, to put it in the words of a hymn and a prayer, the life worth living says, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my silver, take my gold. Not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be only all for thee." That's the life worth living as a Christian. Live it. Amen. We continue with the hymn. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all. Depart in peace. Amen.